The end of one and beginning of two. So, so 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to begin in verse 26. And I just want to remind you there are no excuses saying God can never use me. God, there's nothing, I'm not smart enough, or I am not educated enough for God to use me. These scriptures we're going to read tonight kind of debunks those that feel that way and gives us no excuse. And different. So we're going to jump into 1 Corinthians chapter 1 tonight, and we're going to jump in verse 26. And it says, "Brothers, consider your calling. Not many of you are wise from a human perspective, not many powerful, not many of noble birth." You notice that God doesn't call smart people to preach. Usually he does not call super smart and intellectual men to preach. Usually it's a man he'll call from some place, and it just seems like it's just, it is a God thing. So it isn't that we are, that God picks out smart people. He says, not many powerful, not many of noble birth. People look at as pastoring and or as preaching as something that has been looked at in a negative way by the world and think it's easy money or something of that sort. But not people of noble birth. Very few of them are ever called to preach the word. Very few of them are ever called to preach the word because the world is more into them than the world is into their eyes. And that's what they focus on, their noble birth. So they're going to be noble things of what they feel that their family does. But it goes in 27. He says, "Instead, God has chosen what is foolish in the world to shame the wise." God chose the foolish things. He chose the foolish things, the foolishness that seems... to the world, it seems foolish. It really does. He says, "To shame the wise, and God has chosen what is weak in the world to shame the strong." So God picks exactly the opposite of what the world picks. So the world picks things that are beautiful, people that are beautiful, people that have no... you even look at Hollywood. Hollywood picks everybody that's slimline, beautiful, in their prime, and... they have a name behind them. They have a clout, and when they get older, they're just done. And you're like, whatever happened to that person? And so in Hollywood, you start young, and you climb, and then you kind of go down, as in the world does you down as you get older, because you start wrinkling up, and you don't look as good as you used to, and you don't have the clout that you used to, and you're not being able to keep up with the times, and you're not relevant to the culture of today. But when God picks them, when God chooses people, they should always be on the incline. Once He picks them, once He chooses them, once He opens up the door, once He starts using them in ministry, it should be continuing to do this and keep on doing that. Because God is continuing to use us, and it doesn't make sense to the world. And we look at pastors who are very much gray-haired. We look at them as why we should look at them, and elders in churches, we should look at those that are... And the Bible tells us the elders, the old ones that are older, we should look to them and respect them. And the world doesn't do that. The world just wants to put people off to the side. And God's choosing, and He uses us. And we become stronger as we get old. We should become stronger as we get older. I should be a stronger Christian today than I was yesterday. So God chooses the weak things to shame the strong. But in verse 28, he says, "God has chosen what is insignificant and despised in the world, what is viewed as nothing, to bring to nothing what is viewed as something, so that no one can boast in His presence. But it is from Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became God-given wisdom for us, our righteousness," the ability to live a Christ-like life, "our sanctification, to be separated, and our redemption," as God recalls it. So redemption in that order, as is written, "The one who boasts must boast in the Lord." And that's what we do. We try to make all of our boasting, all of the things that are blessings, we want to lift them up in the name of the Lord. That's what we should do. Lift up the name of the Lord in what we do and how we do these things, because it is through Him that we're able to do those things. And it's not there is not going to be one person that will stand before God and be able to boast. Not one person. For everything that we have has been given to us by God. Amen? And so there is nothing that we can boast about of what we've done or what we have, because everything that we are is of God, and everything that we have belongs to God. But he moves into this piece here, and he says in chapter 2, verse 1, "When I came to you, brothers, announcing the testimony of God to you, I did not come with the brilliance of speech and wisdom." Now we know that Paul is speaking here, and he says, "I didn't come to you with speech and wisdom." He's talking to the people that are, some of these people are very highly educated. "For I did not think it was a good idea to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That's what Paul is doing. Paul is an evangelist. He preaches. He preaches the cross. He preaches the testimony of Jesus Christ. He preaches his story of the Damascus Road. Paul teaches and he preaches Jesus Christ. But he says this, "I came to you in weakness and fear and much trembling." Now, I want to say, you know, there's a part there we do that because we've done that before. Some of us have felt that way. But I want to tell you, he's talking to a people that was very, very difficult to talk to. The people of Corinth are very, very difficult. There was a part even there that the angel came to, the angel Lord spoke to Paul and said, "Just keep preaching." I got many here who believe, but because they were so against. And this is a very, very, can be a very hostile group of people. But he says, "I came to you in weakness and in fear and much trembling." And my speech, let me stop here for a minute. When you, preaching is not always easy, and speaking to people as a pastor, speaking to people is not always easy. When you have to share something that is not good, when you have to share truth, that only truth is what matters, and so you have to figure out how to say it. But it is not always easy to speak to the congregation at all. Okay? It's not as easy as people think it is sometimes. He says, "My speech and my proclamation were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a powerful demonstration by the Spirit, so that your faith might not be based on men's wisdom, but on God's power." So Paul is releasing everything that he has into the hands of God so that God can use him to be able to be used and share the gospel with people. Here's the problem. Once we obtain salvation and we understand it, we get on fire for Jesus for a short time, and then we just start fading. And I'm going to tell you, one of those reasons we start fading is because we start looking back. We start looking to the side. Because it takes work to be the Christian God called you to be. It takes work to be the man of God. It takes work to be the woman of God. It takes work. And there's times when you need to say no to some things. And certain things you need to say yes to. And we're afraid to do that. And we struggle with that. And he goes on and he says, "However, do we speak wisdom among the mature? But not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. On the contrary, we speak God's hidden wisdom in a mystery, a wisdom God predestined before the ages of glory. None of the rulers of this age knew this wisdom, for if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, what eye did not see and ear did not hear, and what never entered the human mind, God prepared this for those who love Him." God has a system. God has a way of doing things, and it's not going to level up with the way we think many times. And as I said before, it's not asking God to get on our bandwagon. We need to learn how to figure out how to get it on His. And He has a way of doing things, and it is different and contrary to the way the world does things. And so it is. So you, if you want to be a successful Christian, you want to be able to do what God's called you to do, you need to tap into the section we're getting ready to go. You need to tap into the Holy Spirit. Now, some of us don't want to talk too much about the Holy Spirit. We believe in God. We believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. We believe that God created all things. So we have the Creator, the God of all things. We have the Savior, Jesus Christ. But we get confused with the Holy Spirit. We get confused on what His purpose is. We get confused on what His calling, what He's about. And the reason we get confused is because we don't read about Him enough. We don't study it enough. We don't look at it enough. But then there's on the flip side of it, where some people think everything is about the Spirit. And everything is about, you got to be, I don't want to go in that direction. So let's go on. He says, Now God has revealed these things to us by the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Now, that's because God's Spirit is the Holy Spirit. This Spirit dwells inside of those who believe. Now, if you're a believer tonight, you need to understand that there's a Spirit that lives inside of you. There's you. And you can say there's the me, myself, and I. There's you. You have a soul. You have a mind. You have a heart. You have emotions. You are a person. You have a living soul. But when you became a believer in Jesus Christ, God put out, you were sealed to the day of redemption, but God also given you the Holy Spirit, which is His Spirit. And as Jesus would say many times, He would call it the Counselor, the Comforter. He was going to come, and He's going to be inside of us. So once we receive the Holy Spirit, we begin to start processing things a little different in the beginning. We wonder why we're being gravitated toward church. We wonder why we're gravitated toward certain Bible stories, and we start gravitating toward the things. You remember when you became a Christian? Was you on fire for the Lord? Do you remember that? And that's the Holy Spirit just going to work inside of you. And let me just say this one thing. The Holy Spirit, when you got saved, and the Holy Spirit was working inside of you, and as I said, there came a moment where things started to kind of went down a little bit. But the Bible says, as Paul was telling Timothy, you need to stir up the flame. It's your responsibility. It's your responsibility to keep the flame going. It's not about, I don't like the preaching, or I don't like the music, and I don't like the Bible. No, you got to stir it up. You got to fan it up. You got to get it going. And it's you. You have to get it going. Sometimes you got to work out. As the Bible says, work out your salvation. You got to work it out. There's work to be done. So many people just receive it and they think that that's the it. But he says, the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man that is in him? And in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, what does that mean? I mean, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And that's why we know certain things, because that same Spirit, that Holy Spirit, dwells inside of us. You see, this message tonight can seem kind of boring, and I know that it can be. But this gets to some of the more maturity things that we need to understand. And the maturity part is you getting to that place, you know what, it's time for me to grow up. It's time for me to step up and know that I have something of God that's inside of me that wasn't there before my salvation, but now I have something inside of me that is different. It is alive and has power, and that is the Holy Spirit. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who comes from God, so that we may understand what has been freely given to us. By God. So we no longer have the spirit of the world in us, even though we struggle with our flesh. But now we have the Spirit of God in us. This is why you're here tonight. This is why you're here tonight. This is why you're here on Sundays. This is why you're here on Wednesdays. This is why you this is why you read your Bible on your own time. Because the Spirit of God is inside of you, and it contends that you need to feed off the Word of God, not just on the bread alone, but on the Word of God. And so you grow, and it makes you strong. Listen, think about it. When you're in trouble, what do? You shoot up a quick 30-second prayer to God? Do you run off and find a friend that can try to console you and tell you everything is going to be okay? Or do you find a person, a man or a woman of God that you believe that will tell you the truth? Will love you as they tell you the truth, even if it might be hard to say? Or find a man or woman of God that will keep what you say in confidence and pray for you and walk with you a little bit through this darkness, this moment of where you are in need, where you're struggling. The Holy Spirit will lead you to other men and women of God. The Holy Spirit will lead you to the things of God. You notice that when you are struggling, that you find yourself more into the Word of God, begging God to give you an answer, something for the day to get you through. That's the Holy Spirit speaking through you, working through you, the moans and the groans. And we think that, I can't find anything. God, give me a word. I need something. You keep reading. Next thing you know, you may have read 3 chapters or 30 chapters, and you're still processing. But let me tell you, all that never goes back void. You're working it. You're wrestling out. Other people are running out, going down to the bar. Other people are running out to going to find worldly people to try to find an answer. Some people go and find their parents and want to just borrow money instead of trying to work through the issues. And other people, they just want to say, God help me, and then they're done. Listen, it takes work to be that Christian God called you to be. It takes work, and it's hard at times. It is hard, but if we know that we have the Holy Spirit, He also speaks these things, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in the but those that are taught by the Spirit. So the Spirit teaches us as we read God's Word and opens up the Scriptures to us and the verses so that we might grow. Opens up our... How many of you have prayed and started praying when you are really praying? You know when you're really praying and you started praying and your prayer took a big turn? And the next thing you know, you're praying about other things, other people. And even though you got a problem in front of you, and then you come back to that problem. That's the sweetness of the Holy Spirit taking you away, not for you just to be leaning on your own problems, but also God, the Holy Spirit showing you other things that are going on as well. And I do want to remind you, whatever you're going through, God can handle yours and everybody else's too. Okay? But in those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. Now, I hope tonight that you feel like you are spiritual. I hope that you feel, and you can say, I am a spiritual person because I have a spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But he says the unbeliever does not welcome what comes from God's Spirit. The unbeliever does not welcome what comes from God unless God is knocking on their door. So the unbeliever says a lot of things. They'll say, and I've heard a lot of people will say, you know, I believe in God, and they think that's enough. Or I don't need to go to church. I don't need to worship God. I believe in God, and I'm good. Or I'm just not sure if there is a God. And so they have all these things, but they're always worldly answers. But because it is foolishness to him, to the unbeliever, he is not able to understand it since it is evaluated spiritually. So I want to remind you, when you're sharing the gospel with somebody, and they're coming up with these oddball answers, it's normal. If they're coming up with answers that make no sense, it's normal. If they get angry about it, it's normal. Because it's foolishness to them. That's why you need to read Nehemiah. When Nehemiah is standing before the king, and he is praying to God and speaking to the king, at the same time. When you're sharing the gospel, or you're asking, hey, can I pray for you? And you need to be praying to God through the Spirit as you're speaking to someone, that God will give you wisdom to speak the right words, that God will open up that person's heart, because you can't force anybody to receive Christ. You cannot force anyone to accept your prayer, the time of prayer that you want to give, but you can pray that God will open up the door. And we don't do enough of that in the moment. We don't do enough of that. There's times when we need to pray in the moment. And the only way we'll get through that is understanding and knowing who the Holy Spirit is. Explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. But the unbeliever does not welcome what comes from God's Spirit because it is foolishness to him. He is not able to understand it since it is evaluated spiritually. The spiritual person, however, can evaluate everything. Did you hear that? The spiritual person can evaluate everything. Yet he himself cannot be evaluated by anyone. Anybody ever try to evaluate you? The spiritual person, however, can evaluate everything. We don't give enough credit to the Holy Spirit. We don't tap into the Holy Spirit enough. If we was to tap into the Holy Spirit, we would have a lot more things figured out in some senses. We would know what's going on. We would know if these things are of God, these things are not of God. And we need to seize the moment sometimes. We need to seize it, the moment, and know that the Holy Spirit. But he says, yet he himself cannot be evaluated by anyone. But who has known the Lord's mind that he may instruct him? But it says, but we have the mind of Christ. Now, if we have the mind of Christ, which means we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit testifies to the things that are of God. And then what happens is when you feel like you're going to go through, and you're getting ready to, you're in times of temptation and you're being pulled in that direction, you feel the conviction of what? Of your own thoughts? No. conviction of the world? No, you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives you conviction, and you know that what you're about to do, what you're thinking about doing, is wrong and is against God. And that is the Holy Spirit speaking to you and moving upon you. Another example of the Holy Spirit is when you know this, when you were supposed to open up and share something about a testimony, about something about Jesus Christ, something about your relationship with God, and you felt that there, and you felt kind of weird and awkward, and all of a sudden you felt kind of scared, and you stepped back from it, but you were being pulled to say it, and you didn't say it. So, but the Holy Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit telling you and prompting you to share the gospel, to share the story, to share your testimony with others, or share an opportunity for you to pray with them. And we don't, because we don't heed the Holy Spirit, which means we're not listening to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes in conversation, we need to be wiser and not be talking so much in conversation, but be listening. Listening to the person in front of you, but also attentively listening to the Holy Spirit that's speaking inside of you. And there are things, the Holy Spirit is very, very strong when the Holy Spirit speaks. You know when He's speaking to you. He knows when you need to confess, or you know when you need to confess. It is Him that is prompting you. You know when you need to speak up, but it's Him that is prompting you. It is the flesh that ultimately, many times, opens its big mouth. It is the flesh that gets us to stumble across things. It is the flesh that gets us to run away from opportunities to evangelize and not step into the opportunities to evangelize. But he says this in chapter 3. He says this, "Brothers, I would not be able to speak to you as spiritual people." Now, he just talked about people being spiritual. Now, if you're spiritual, you'll understand these things. But he says, you don't get it. That's what he's saying. He says, "Brothers, I was not able to speak to you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as babies in Christ." That can be very, very, hurt people's feelings, saying that. That can feel like a slap in the face. But Paul says, "I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, because you were not ready for it. In fact, you are still not ready. Because you are still fleshly, for since there is envy and strife among you, are you not fleshly and living like unbelievers? For whenever someone says, 'I am with Paul,' and another, 'I am Apollos,' are you not unspiritual people?" It begins to go into the problems that the people of Corinth are. People are picking Paul, some people are picking Apollos, and so it becomes a mess. And he says, "Listen, I want to tell you and I want to give you solid food, but you're just not getting it because you're still in the flesh. And in the flesh is a place where we struggle. Listen, do you know the voice of the flesh is always about defending yourself? The flesh defends itself and points fingers at everybody else or at someone else. That's what the flesh does. The flesh does that all the time. The flesh is always about never taking personal responsibility, never admitting to your wrongs. It's always somebody else. If you think like that all the time, and you actually act that out, then you're like these people here. You're not spiritually strong. You are still a baby in Christ. It doesn't mean you're not a believer, but you're still a baby in Christ. I see the Holy Spirit as an awesome peace in our life. I see the Holy Spirit as that peace that where it says the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, "I had to go. I have to leave. Because the comforter won't come, the counselor won't come until I leave." When I first read that many years ago, I was like, what is that? Jesus Christ comes on the earth. And as He's on the earth, He's doing all these things. But He says, "I got to go so the comforter will come." But as you grow in your relationship with Christ, you understand that Jesus, when He was on earth, He could only be at one place at one time because He was walking in as a person. He was walking as a person. If he was in Bethlehem, He was in Bethlehem. If He was in Nazareth, He was in Nazareth. But here the Holy Spirit dwells in all believers. And it is though Jesus Christ is walking on the earth, but it is His Spirit who dwells inside of each believer. We have more problems than we need to have. We have more problems than we should have. We have more pains and sufferings as a Christian than we should have. And the churches have more struggles than they should have because we're not tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit. That power is not to be used wrongly. It is the place where you understand, as a mature Christian, you understand that it is the Spirit of God that dwells inside of you. It is something that have come down from heaven. It is something that comes from God. I believe this. God wants to do more in you than what you think. I believe God wants to do more in you than what you're capable of doing. And all you got to do is say yes. That's all a person has to do is say, yes, yes, I'll do it. But it does come at a cost. You got to sometimes give something up. You know, Jesus was walking along and he told Peter and them, come, I'll make you fishers of men. And the Bible says they immediately dropped their nets. You know what they did? They dropped their jobs. They immediately dropped their profession. And usually, if you were a fisherman or a tent maker back then, you did what your great-great-granddaddy did. Everybody did the same thing, so you can get real good at it. And they dropped it. And they followed. And that's what it is today. And God is calling men and women to drop whatever it is that's in front of them and to follow Him. And He turns them into people. And He uses the people, the foolish things of the world. And He uses a beat-up fisherman and had a cursing mouth. And He uses him to turn around and be this rock of solid faith. It's funny. I raised three boys, and some of you get raising them. And I never said, Lord, let them go off to this beautiful, great college. Let them be men of wisdom of the world. Let them be great business owners. Let them be these movers and shakers as entrepreneurs and all these things. No, I said these things. That's why I said, Lord, let them not depart. This is what, ever since they were born. Lord, let them not depart from this earth without first coming to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and personal Savior. Number two, let them be men of repentance. Men of repentance. Men of repentance. Because I know they always do everything right. It's like all of us. And as being young men, I'm sure they've done things that I don't know. But the men of repentance, which means when they mess it up, they come running back to God and they turn away from what they were doing. That's foolishness to the world. But it's wisdom from God's Word. Because Jesus would always tell people, your sins are forgiven, repent. Do them no more. That's repenting. That's seeking forgiveness and repenting. That's foolishness to the world. And God takes someone and He turns a nobody and He turns them into a somebody. Where the world takes everybody and looks at them, and it's always on the outside where God looks on the inside. And this whole piece is, you have something inside of you that's not natural in the human form. It's not natural on this earth. This is why Satan did not want Jesus Christ to die on the cross. Because he knew that those who believe would have this peace inside of them. And if they would ever understand and truly understand the power of the Holy Spirit, that God's Spirit. Listen, when you pray, do you know that when you're praying that the Holy Spirit is grieving and turning? Because we really don't know how to pray. And it sins up there. Do you think that your prayers are just you speak them and you just hope that God hears them? There's no hope in that. I believe when you're praying that God hears them, it's clean, crystal clear. Crystal clear. It's just spiritual, an opening. Where something opens and just automatically God knows it. You speak it, God hears it. As soon as it comes out of your mouth, God hears it. Yet we struggle with walking in this world. We struggle in our churches. We struggle as our walk in our life in this world because we're still looking with fleshly eyes. That's why we need to ask. This is why I pray all the time. Lord, give us eyes to see what You'd have us to see and ears to hear what You would have us to hear. Because there are the things that we need to hear, those are the things that you can't hear in the flesh. You got to hear them in the Spirit. There's things that we need to see that we can only see through the Spirit, the eyes of spiritual eyes, not through the eyes of the flesh. And this is one of the hardest parts of growing up as a Christian. It is knowing and understanding the voice of the Holy Spirit, which is the voice of God, which is the voice of our Lord and personal Savior Jesus Christ. He didn't talk to you. The last time He talked to you was not at the altar of your salvation. It was not at the last time He talked to you, it was at the moment of your baptism. I hope the last time that you heard from Him was this morning when you woke up, or this afternoon, or when you prayed over your dinner that you asked God to bless it. And you know what? And if you prayed it, you know that He did bless it. God's more involved in your life than you think. We need to spend more time in our prayer life. Amen? We need to seek Him and ask Him to give us eyes to see and ears to hear the things that only those who are spiritual can see and hear. Everybody's got an opinion. But isn't it much better to get a word from the Lord? Be careful who you let speak into your life. Because someone that is... I need to be careful how I say this. Because someone can speak into your life. If you're not as strong as you think that you are, they can speak into your life and you can change your doctrinal beliefs. And you grew up on strong doctrinal foundation and all of a sudden it's changed and think leading you into another direction. And the person that led you not even going to church. I know somebody that right now turned around and changed their whole doctrine. I mean, it was listening because the person knew a lot of scripture. The person knew a lot of verses by memory. Knows a lot of things like that. But listen, if your talk don't match your walk, I ain't interested. And neither should you. We need to be interested in how you talk and how you live, and all should match up. Not persuade you because of one doctrinal belief. If you want to camp out on one doctrinal belief, you'll be a miserable Christian your whole life. Because it isn't about fighting over a doctrinal issue or a theological issue. Yeah, there's things that we need to wrestle through. But in the morning, I'm going to be a Christian and I'm going to do what God's called me to do. That's what we need to do, right? We can work things out, but we don't argue over those things. And I see people changing their whole life over something. They let the wrong person speak into their life. You need to let the right people speak into your life. Godly people. People that are spiritual. I hope that there are some spiritual people here in this church. And I believe there are many in this church that are spiritual. But I believe some of us go to the wrong people. Listen, don't go to someone for spiritual advice that may be your friend, but it's not walking the godly life. Now, you don't want to go there. You want to go to the godly person. But even before that, you want to go to the Lord. Listen, I'll tell you the difference between a spiritual person, a spiritual Christian, and a carnal Christian, or a baby in Christ. A baby in Christ will seek out many, many, many people for an answer and spend a little bit of time in prayer. A spiritual person will spend a lot of time in prayer and seek out a few wise people. Because when we don't know what to do, we talk. So, fleshly, a Christian who's a baby in Christ will go and look for all kinds of people to get input and spend a little bit of time in prayer. But the spiritual Christian spends more time in prayer and seeks just a few wise, godly people. Amen? Amen? Spiritual, to be spiritual, is to be about the things of God. Understanding and know who you were, but also understanding and know who you are now in Christ. Philippians tells us, and it's all in the 12-step program, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. To learn it is one thing, to read it is another, but to know it and understand it and actually live it out is a whole other thing. And that's when I close. The baby in Christ may know the scripture, but it's the spiritual Christian who experiences the verse. To know the verse in scripture is good, but to experience it and say, Lord, your word tells me that I can do all things through your Son, through you. I can do all things through the So you're going to strengthen me. I'm standing on that promise today because I'm going through something. And your Holy Spirit testifies, and what I'm saying, and your Word testifies, because what you say and what your Word is will never contradict one another. So I'm standing on the grounds, I'm standing on your Word today. I'm going to go to bed, I'm going to have peace in my night tonight, but I'm leaving it all at your feet, and I stand on it, and I go to bed with this scripture in my mind. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and I will get through this because I am a child of God. We need to speak positively with power and strength in our words. Amen? There are times when we do need to fall apart before the Lord because we just need to at times. But most of the time we need to be strong and solid, and we need men of God and women of God to step up, because the world is looking, they are not admitting it, but the world is looking for men and women of God to reach out, and so they can see something different in the world. So let's go ahead and stand. I'll give you an opportunity. If you know, the biggest question that I've ever gotten through Christians is this: how do you know when the Holy Spirit is talking? How do you know He's talking?